an opportunity here to establish a $200 billion Heroes Fund, which will provide for bonuses for hazard pay because people have really put their lives on the line. There is also an opportunity here to address the hospitals and nursing homes, healthcare facilities, our mental health service providers with a $100 billion fund that will go towards additional relief for those institutions. We have $75 billion that will go toward additional testing, tracing, and treatment, a three-pronged approach that will speak to not only containing the virus, but identifying with requirements for study and reporting that will enable us to see the demographic profiles of where this disease is impacting us in the country and to which population. So a lot of work done here to go forward with efforts that respond to various institutions and organizations, including our Postal Service, which receives an amount of investment here with this bill that will enable them to continue to deliver mail, which also responds to deliveries of medications for many of our shut-ins. So this is an inclusive bill that really responds to, again, our lives and our livelihood. It is keeping us as a nation strong and functioning. And these are essential workers that provide essential services that make our quality of life what we expect it to be. We as Americans are a tough group. We are determined, we are resilient. This responds to the great bravery, the courage, and certainly the resilience that people have shown as we've worked through these several weeks and months combating this pandemic. It is far from over. We hope the testing and the accuracy of contact tracing and treatment will enable us to achieve the final goals of conquering this very, very challenge of our lifetime. This legislation responds with appropriate support to those who have led us through these challenging times, those who have put their lives on the line so that we can enjoy the essential services, receive the essential services we require. So it is about providing assistance to states which provide essential services, to our cities, our counties, our local governments that make our daily activities, our quality of life, what it is. And it's certainly about providing the resources and the guidance, the efforts to assist our hospitals, our nursing homes, and our mental health service providers, those facilities, those healthcare institutions that are in the midst of responding to the individual treatment that obviously is required by far too many.
You mentioned some statistics about the death totals, the case numbers.
Sure. Nearly 87,000 people have succumbed to COVID-19 virus, and some 1.4 plus million cases have been determined. And so it tells us those numbers are staggering, and it continues to challenge us as we, as a nation, respond to this pandemic.
Thank you, Congressman. And for those uninitiated, the chimes behind the Congressman are known as the Capitol bells, and they signal that votes are upcoming. So, Congressman, do we have just a couple of minutes to take a few questions before?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to vote shortly, but they're doing it in alphabetical sequence with clustering of members that will hopefully be masked as they go to the floor to vote.
I have a question.
Hey,
Dan Bazile here from Spectrum News. Quick question for you. I understand that Senator Mitch McConnell has been doing the rounds talking about this bill, and he said that we need to take a pause on more of those funds, of those relief packages. So what does that mean for this bill in the Senate?
I think that basically as this is unveiled and when people realize the assistance that's provided, they'll see it as critical and essential. And I think like any development of public policy, I'll reach back to the days of Abraham Lincoln, who always said that this is driven by public sentiment. And I think public sentiment here will challenge our counterparts in the United States Senate to respond accordingly. I think that there will be growing support when people recognize what relief is provided our states and local governments, our hospitals, our nursing homes, our mental health providers. When they see that assistance, when they see the assistance for Hazard Fund, for those who really embraced enormous amounts of courage, they'll respond favorably and they'll advance, I think, their support for this legislation. Just as an individual congressman, I have heard from several who work in local government, people who maintain our water and sewer systems, people who are there as caseworkers, providing essential social services for families, healthcare workers, certainly frontline people who have been in the midst of this pandemic, from teachers, from firefighters, from police officers. People have been reaching out to us, understanding that, you know, when we look at state governments, it might look like an accounting ledger, but when you break it down to the human element, it's essential human services, and it's provided by professionals out there who have been really, really heroes, as the act would designate, and they need to be responded to. I would share, too, with, I think it's an important stat, while this is a major bill that provides resources from many, many perspectives, there is, to the local government element, a total of $1.3 billion estimated to come into the capital region. And so that relief at the local level translates into continuation of essential services and the relief to potential relief to the property taxpayer.
This is Emily from the Albany Times Union. And I wanted to ask about the funding for childcare in this bill, Congressman. Many House Democrats pushed for $50 billion to support childcare as these businesses have been closed and people rely on them and need them to be able to get back to work through reopening. But I understand that the HEROES Act only includes $7 billion for childcare, and some Democrats expressed disappointment in that. I was wondering if Speaker Pelosi has addressed that in caucus conversations about why only $7 billion was included on that provision, and how you think that sets you up to negotiate on childcare funding with the Senate.
Well, I think, you know, you raise an important concept of putting a bill together. You know, I hope my colleagues and I don't reject it for what's not in there, but really respect it for what is in there. I too would like to see much more for childcare because of the reasons you cited, but they try to contain within certain parameters the amounts that we provide for the given elements of the bill. This is not the last iteration, I got to believe. There will be other concepts coming down the road because we are in the midst of a pandemic. And so we will measure what assistance that is provided in this bill will do. And if it falls far short, I am confident that we'll be there with additional funds that will make up for that shortfall. But childcare becomes an essential bit of funding and a resource for working families in this country who are impacted by the need for quality childcare opportunities.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir. Andrea, you had a question.
Hello, Congressman. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
This is Andrea Connolly from the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy, New York, WOOC radio station. I'm curious about where we will find the funding for this bill. There's so many things that are needed in this country, and I know we have a financial problem. So how will we be able to fund this bill?
Well, you know, the efforts through all of this pandemic will come to that payment mechanism. And we'll be working for a very progressive formula. Obviously, you know, the efforts in the House have expressed our ideals, our values for America's working families. And that moment will come. But for now, there is no way that we can afford not to do something. This is about keeping the nation afloat. It's about responding to our lives and our livelihoods. And that is the important driving force with this legislation. And the two houses and the two parties on the Hill will make it their job to, in, I hope, a progressive fashion, come together with the payment for what we have here. But right now, the thinking is we cannot afford not to invest in our families.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. Congressman, any concluding thoughts?
No, I'm looking forward to casting a vote in favor of the legislation today. It's taken a lot of work, several conferencing calls with technology, assisting us in that effort, repeated opportunities to work with all of my colleagues to add to the bill, to offer your sentiments, to exchange the testimonies that I've received, that we've received in our office. I'm just grateful for all the input that we would have received from the district that had advanced this notion of assistance for our communities and for our heroes. And it'll be a proud moment to cast a vote to keep us afloat. This nation needs to understand, the leadership in Washington needs to understand, this is a national challenge. It deserves and requires a national response, a national strategy, and a national commitment. And this is a part of that commitment and that respect that is shown to each and every person that has maintained the operations of this country in the midst of one of the most challenging, if not the most challenging, times this country has had.
Thank you, sir. So I'll just add thank you to everyone for joining us this morning. Congressman, we should let you go cast that vote. Thanks, everybody.